الله الله
إيدر
القابض الباسط الخافض الرافع المعز المذل السميع البصير الحكيم.
You're listening to Eidars.com.
Ramadan is a time for divine blessings. It's a month of purification, month of annual servicing oneself. It's a month of attaching oneself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, making one's connection strong with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, great opportunity to strengthen one's iman and one's connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, purifying one's heart and one's soul from evil effects and the sins and the, you know, things we've done in the 11 months of the year. Therefore, how should we spend Ramadan? Fasting and Taraweeh, that's number one. The first thing to do, we know, and Alhamdulillah, all of us, we fast. We all fast. So fasting is done. Taraweeh, most of us offer, and there will be a separate session on Taraweeh. So number one is fasting and Taraweeh, okay? In that handout, do you have number one, fasting, number two, Taraweeh, or number one, fasting and Taraweeh? Fasting and Taraweeh, okay. Number two, Tilawat al-Qur'an, recitation of the Qur'an. This is very important. Absolutely, extremely important. You can't emphasize enough the importance of reciting the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this month. Shahru Ramadan, alladhi unzila fihi al-Qur'an. Allah says, month of Ramadan is the month in which, what happened? Unzila fihi al-Qur'an. The Qur'an was revealed. Remember, Qur'an revelation took place twice, if you know. One was from al-Lawh al-Mahfuz, from this secure tablet to the heavens, ila sama'i dunya. And then from there was the, and that's the revelation that took place regarding which Allah says, inna anzalnahu fi laylatil qadr, wa inna anzalnahu fi laylatil mubarakah. That we reveal the book, the whole book, the whole Qur'an. There's two revelations, yeah? One was the full revelation from al-Lawh al-Mahfuz, the secure tablet, to the heavens, okay, ila sama'i dunya. This was one full revelation, and that was in Ramadan, and that was in the Laylatul Qadr, in the blessed night. And the second revelation was the revelation of portions of parts of the Quran as and when needed via Jibreel, peace be upon him, wahi revelation upon the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam during the period of how many years? 23 years. So that's why sometimes people get confused and reveal the Quran in Ramadan, but wasn't Quran revealed like as and when needed versus, this is the meaning, there's two revelations. So Quran has a special connection to the month of Ramadan. Quran has a special attachment, link, bond with the month of Ramadan. Many ulama have stated, لَهُ خُصُوصِيَةٌ شَهْرُ رَمَضَانٍ لَهُ خُصُوصِيَةٌ بِالْقُرْآنِ. It has a special connection. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to actually, you know, there's a famous hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari, Sahih Muslim. The first part of the hadith, well, he talks about charity, which I will talk about. Well, the hadith is, Ali ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu narrates, so the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam regarding him, كان النبي sallallahu alayhi wa sallam أجود الناس. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the most generous of people. وكان أجود ما يكون في رمضان. And he was the most generous in Ramadan, in relation to outside Ramadan. Generosity, that's another thing, charity, which we'll come to. And حِينَ يَلْقَاهُ جِبْرَئِيلُ. He used to be very generous in Ramadan when Jibreel, it's Ramadan was when the angel Jibreel used to meet him. فَيُدَارِسُهُ الْقُرْآنِ. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would revise, would do what? Revision of Quran in this month of Ramadan. وكان جبرائيل يلقاه في كل ليلة من رمضان فيدارس القرآن. The angel Jibreel used to meet him in every night. So night specifically for Quran. Every night. And he would revise and read the Quran collectively with Jibreel. It's a great time, opportunity for those who want to memorize Quran and revise with their teacher in the night of Ramadan. And the hadith goes on, which I will mention again anyway. So this hadith is a clear indication that recitation of the Quran, studying the Quran, recitation of the Quran is extremely important, recommended, great, a sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Hence, we should in abundance recite the Quran. Seriously, we should. Those who can recite as much as possible, recite as much as possible. Recite as much as possible. With, if you can, with reflection. I mean, if we look at the Salaf, the predecessors, the great Imams, can we just mention to you one or two? Well, there's a hadith in Sunan, before I mention about the Salaf, there's a hadith in Musnad Ahmad where the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that Nuzilat Suhufu Ibrahim fi awwali laylati min shahri Ramadan. Scriptures of Ibrahim were sent in. Revealed on the first night of Ramadan. Also, Tawrat was in Ramadan. Injil, Bible was in Ramadan, and Quran was also revealed in Ramadan. This is again saying, you know, the whole Quran. So the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, before the Salaf, let's look at the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He used to in abundance the recitation of the Quran in prayer and outside prayer. If you can do it in prayer, then you can combine two acts of worship. If you are, you know, if you have memorized the Quran. A lot of people ask about, you know, reading in the Quran and looking at it in prayer. There's a difference of opinion between the four schools of thought. According to the Hanafis, it's not permissible. Actually, this prayer becomes invalid. If the Imam opens up this Mus'haf, the Quran, and reads from it, you know, because it's considered to be excessive action and some other reasons as well. And even if the follower, the back, according to the Hanafi school, the prayer is invalidated. The other schools, like the Shafi'is and the Hanbalis, this coming to say, if you follow another school, fine, it's no problem. In prayer, you are combining two acts of worship. So it's great if you can read the Quran whilst offering Qiyamul Layl. Okay. Look at the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There's a Sahabi companion by the name of Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu. He said, I joined in with the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in prayer in the night of Ramadan. He started reading Baqarah, Surah Al-Baqarah. You know how long Surah Al-Baqarah is? Yeah. ثُمَّ النِّسَى Then he started Surah Nisa, and then he prayed Surah Al-Imran. Three surahs, imagine, long surahs. And لَا يَمُرُّ بِآيَةِ تَخْوِيفٍ Whenever he used to pass by a verse of fear, of punishment, he used to seek the protection, refuge of Allah. He used to cry, he used to ponder over it. Whenever he used to pass by the ayah, the verse of Jannah, of Paradise, the ni'mah, the blessings, the gift of Allah, he used to ask Allah, make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can do, you know, du'as and you can supplicate in nafil prayers. This was the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he only offered two rak'at of prayer. He started after Isha. He only was able to offer two rak'at of prayer when the angel Jibreel came. Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu anhu came and informed him that it's the time for Adhan or Fajr. This was the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whoever is able to increase in the recitation of the Quran, increase as much as possible. Look at the Salaf, there was a person, Tabi'i, called Aswad radiallahu anhu. He used to complete a Quran in two nights of Ramadan. Okay? Qatada radiallahu anhu, his regular habit throughout the year was one khatam in 7 days and in Ramadan in 3 days. How many days? 3 days. And in the last 10 nights, one khatam every night. This was Qatada. SubhanAllah. And these are not made up stories or fictions or legends or something like that. These are real. Most these quotes are from a great Imam called Imam Ibn Rajab. I mean, this has been mentioned in many books, okay, not just one book. But just as to mention one source of evidence reference, there's a great Imam called Imam Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali. He's a Hanbali Imam. What's his name? Ibn Rajab. Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali radiallahu anhu. He has a very famous book in Arabic. I don't think it's been translated into English. Called Lata'iful Ma'arif Fima Limawasim al-Ami Min al-Wadaif. It's like all the 12 months, what to do. You know, Muharram, Safar, Rabiul Awwal, the merits, the virtues, the significance, the importance, the relevance of all the 12 months of the year. It's a nice book in Arabic. If somebody knows Arabic, read it. So, these are some of the quotes from his book. And as I mentioned, this is mentioned in many, many other books. Imam al-Shafi'i, radiallahu anhu, in Ramadan, you know how many khatams he used to do? 60. These some of the things are like impossible for us. We can't even think of it. Imam Abu Hanifa radiallahu anhu, he had a habit of doing 61 completions, khatams of the Quran in Ramadan. One in the day, one in the night, and one for the whole month in Taraweeh prayer. one in the day, 30 days. If it's 29, if it's 30, then it's 61. One in the night, and one which is, you know, the regular daily one in Taraweeh. It can be possible, if someone wants to do it, it can be possible. I know people who are living right now who've done 35 khatams, who have a regular habit of 35. I personally know someone who does 35 khatams in Ramadan. 30 is like, many people do 30. I know a lot of people who do 30. One a day, not difficult. I can count people I know. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I know 7 people who do 30, and probably more if I think. This is a month of the Quran. They have no other job. They don't have no job. Remember, they don't have to always sit with the Quran and read, because they've memorized the Quran. Even if they're driving a car, place A to place B, you've done one juz of the Quran. You've gone somewhere else, you have to go and buy something, you do another juz of the Quran. So it's just constant, because they've memorized it. So this is Ramadan, and as I mentioned in the beginning as well, that Imam Malik radiallahu anhu, what he used to do? When the month of Ramadan used to enter, he used to leave reading hadith, sitting with students of knowledge. He used to stop sitting with students of knowledge. He used to stop teaching. He used to leave everything aside. وَأَقْبَلَ عَلَى التِّلَاوَةِ And he used to completely devote himself to the recitation of the Qur'an al-Kareem. Sufyan al-Thawri, radiallahu anhu, a great tabi'i, when Ramadan used to arrive, he used to leave all forms of ibadah. Everything, he used to leave everything. And he used to turn to the recitation of the Qur'an. Because Qur'an and Ramadan have something in common. There's a strong connection, attachment, and link. There's a hadith in the Musnad of Imam Ahmad, Abdullah ibn Amr radiallahu anhu, relates from the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, where he said, "As-siyamu wal-Qur'an yushafi'ani lil-abd." Your fasting and your Qur'an. Fasting and Qur'an will both intercede on behalf of the servant on the Day of Judgment. يَقُولُ الصِّيَامُ Fasting will say, Allah will give fasting the ability to converse and speak. Fasting will say, أَيْ رَبِّي O my Lord, مَنَعْتُهُ الطَّعَامَ وَالشَّهَوَاتِ بِالنَّهَارِ I stopped him from eating, drinking, and from his desires during the day. وَيَقُولُ الْقُرْآنُ And the Qur'an will say, مَنَعْتُهُ النَّوْمَ بِاللَّيْلِ I stopped him from sleeping that night because he was busy reading me. So please accept my intercession for him. وَيُشَفَّعَانِ The intercession of both fasting and the Qur'an will be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So fasting in the day, Qur'an in the night. That's how we spend the month of Ramadan. And even if during the day you can recite the Qur'an. So we really need to try as much as possible. For those who are able to read in Arabic, must read in Arabic. You should try, you know, Arabic reading is of course, you know, there's extra reward in it. If you can also follow a bit of translation, great. Because you are reciting with tadabbur, with reflection, with deliberation, with understanding. If you have a translation with it, it might slow up your pace. Remember, when we said 60 khatams and 50 khatams, it's not always necessarily the quantity. Quality is important. These people used to have 60 with quality. 50, 30 khatams with quality, right? It's not that easy just finish. Like sometimes we hear Taraweeh, Allah Akbar, Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, Qayyil Qadir, Dalina, finish. Whereas Sirat al-Mustaqim is like everything is eaten up. That's not how we read the Qur'an. Qur'an is supposed to be read with tajweed, with khushu', with khudu'. Even in Taraweeh prayers. We'll talk about it when it comes to Taraweeh, but it's a problem. So many places. And people in the masjid, people get upset because the imam is reading slowly. It's like 10 minutes above time today. And people become agitated. If you don't want to pray Taraweeh, go home. You know, just go home and read yourself. I will talk about it when we talk about the completion of the Qur'an. Qur'an is supposed to be recited slowly. I'm not saying very slowly, but good pace, but with reflection, with devotion, with understanding. So if you can have a translation with you, then try to have a translation. If you can't read it in Arabic, then just read it. Try to use the transliteration okay, and maybe, you know, look at the English translation. So yeah, give a lot of importance to the recitation of the Quran. Number three is, what's number three? With Jama'ah in the masjid, at least for this month, make a habit to perform every prayer with congregation, in congregation, in the masjid. Remember, offering every prayer with congregation in the masjid is not something that's absolutely obligatory. In the Hanafi school, for example, offering prayer is farz, obligatory, right, for everybody. Offering prayer in congregation is wajib, which means that if a person does not offer it in congregation, it's simple for men, not for women. Women is voluntary, it's recommended if they want to. But it's wajib for men to pray with congregation. Okay? This is just exclusively for men. The wujub, which means the necessity of praying in congregation for men. For women, it's not an obligation. If they want to, they can go. And there's some hadith, and that's another topic altogether, this hadith, that is better actually for them to pray at home if they want to. I wrote a very lengthy article on this once before, and I think the Voices organization in their magazines, I don't know if they're still coming out or not, if they've stopped, but they published it once, this whole article about women praying in the masjid. And the third aspect here is offering it in the masjid. That's recommended and mustahab even for men. So for example, if I was to pray at home, but you know, with there's 2-3 brothers and we pray at home, or at office, you're at work with in your place of working, 3 of you offer with Jama'ah, the necessity is fulfilled. You don't get the reward of going to the masjid, but necessity is fulfilled. This is in the Hanafi school. And some other schools, praying with congregation is sunnah, so you don't get sin. In according to the Shafi'is, Malikis, and the Hanbalis, the person doesn't pray in congregation, there's no sin. Yes, the reward is missed out on great reward. So regardless of that, we should try our best, especially brothers, to offer every prayer with Jama'ah, in congregation, in the masjid. Remember, we need to lessen our daily duties and responsibilities. We need to lessen them. We need to try to make more time, as I said, delay many things for after the month of Ramadan. Number four, offer tahajjud prayer. Try to offer salatul tahajjud qiyamul layl. This is besides taraweeh. Okay, we'll talk about taraweeh later on, as I said. As much as possible. I mean, this is really important for Muslims. For the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tahajjud prayer was wajib. For the rest of the ummah, the followers, it's not wajib. It's a highly emphasized sunnah. Some scholars say it's actually wajib for everybody. Some say it's sunnah mu'akkadun, highly emphasized sunnah. But majority say that it's sunnah. We should normally have a habit of offering, even if you can, just 2 raka'at of tahajjud. If you can't, the best form is to wake up, because you're cutting off your sleep, you're disturbing your sleep and you're waking up. It's better in the last part of the night. If somebody cannot do that, then even before going to sleep, after Salatul Isha, just 2 raka'at of tahajjud, inshallah, you'll get some reward. And if somebody doesn't have a habit during the year, then at least in Ramadan. And in Ramadan it's easy anyway, because we wake up for suhoor, which is good. We need to wake up for suhoor. It's a sunnah. Okay, which I'll talk about. So wake up slightly earlier, half an hour before, you know, the time you normally wake up. If you wake up, you know, 1 hour before suhoor ending time, before the beginning time for Fajr Salah, dedicate half an hour for tahajjud and half an hour for the servicing of the stomach. Okay? Half an hour for tahajjud prayer and half an hour for eating. At least in Ramadan, we should try to offer tahajjud prayer. Tahajjud, salat of tahajjud, there are many, many ahadith and traditions of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in which he encouraged salat of tahajjud. Okay? If 8 raka'at is best, if somebody cannot offer 8 raka'at, then 6, 4, minimum at least 2 raka'at. If you don't have time, then just do 2. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there's a hadith in Sahih Bukhari, Sahih Muslim, Aisha radiallahu anha, she says, كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا دخل العشرة, especially in the last 10 nights of Ramadan. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when the last 10 nights of Ramadan used to enter, when the last 10 days of Ramadan used to enter, شَدَّ مِئْزَرَهُ. He used to tighten his resolve. There's two meanings of this. Some of the ulama see the word mi'zar is from the word izar. Izar is an Arabic term, they use it in some other languages as well. But mi'zar, he shadda means he used to tighten. One meaning of this, that he because he used to go in i'tikaf, it's actually indication of his abstinence from sexual relations with his spouse, with his wife. Okay, that's the meaning. So that's it. These last 10 nights, no relations whatsoever. To wake up his family, awaken his family. Only in the last 10 nights, he used to awaken them. He used to awaken them. Which means that it's a sunnah, recommended act, and a sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to wake up yourself and awaken your family. Wake them up as well. And this just does not mean that the husband has to wake up the wife. It's both. It's the wife either waking up the husband waking up the wife. It does not only mean parents waking up the children, parents, children, brothers, sisters, whatever. You know, just wake up your family. Okay, but don't, you know, wake them up gently. Especially if somebody, you know, is not a good pace, the person who doesn't wake up in a good way. So relax, take it easy. Don't bring the house down. And normally the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know the hadith when he used to wake up, he used to tiptoe. Walk slowly so that his wife Aisha radiallahu anha would not be disturbed in her sleep. And that's his real method. This is the method of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But in Ramadan you can wake them up slowly. You know there's a famous hadith that where it's been mentioned that there's a hadith where there's a recommendation of each of the spouses, the husband and the wife, waking each other up and sprinkling water in the face. You come across that hadith, there's reward. That's like waking them up lightly. It's a bit of, but don't do that to everybody. Okay, because if some people they wake up first and there's water in the face, just slap you one. So wake up, and it's also related for the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he used to go on the knock on the, he used to go and knock on the door of his daughter Fatima radiallahu anha and her husband Ali radiallahu anha. They would be sleeping and he would say to them, أَلَا تَقُومَانِ فَتُصَلِّيَا. Won't you both wake up now and offer prayer? It's time to wake up, come on, wake up. Do some wudu and pray, salah. Okay, so it's very important. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, he used to worship Allah himself throughout the night, and when half of the night used to pass, he used to go and wake up his family. أَيْقَضَ أَهْلَهُ. And he used to say, As-salat, as-salat, come on, prayer, time for prayer. And then he used to recite the verse of the Quran, in which Allah says, وَأْمُرْ أَهْلَكَ بِالصَّلَاةِ وَاسْطَبِرْ عَلِيهَا. Order your family to offer prayer and be punctual yourself. Don't just order them and tell them to pray and you go to sleep. Like, you know, the father telling the son, don't smoke, and he just takes a cigarette. It's like, smoke. Don't smoke, it's a bad thing, and he takes a smoke. How's he going to listen to it? Pray yourself, and then tell your family. And also, in terms of the what are we on? Tahajjud, yeah? What was it? We're on Tahajjud prayer? Yeah, Nawafil. Yeah, so this is Tahajjud and optional Nawafil prayer, general. Offering Tahajjud prayer and generally. Also try to offer, you know, all those different types of optional prayers that we are not able to do so outside of Ramadan. Well, you know, I'm not able to do so. You might be all, mashallah, very, very punctual with everything from Ishraq to Awabin, you know, to all the different types of various prayers. You should try. Even if outside of Ramadan, we should try, but we can't always do. So like, for example, Ishraq prayer after the sun rises, maybe 2 rak'ad, maybe 4 rak'ad. There's also Salat al-Duha. Some said it's the same thing, and that seems more correct than Salat al-Ishraq and Salat al-Duha. There's no Salat al-Ishraq, it's just one prayer. If you pray later on, it becomes the mid-morning prayer. And if you pray earlier on, then this is the Ishraq prayer. Some scholars said there's two separate prayers, so that then about 10:30, 11 o'clock, you offer another prayer. And then Awabin, Salat al-Awabin. It's mentioned in the hadith, the 6 rak'ad after Maghrib, including your 2 sunnah. So 2, 2, 2. And you will receive the reward of a Awabin prayer. And, you know, Nawafil, as much as you can. But try to do this in the month of Ramadan, inshallah. Number 5, we have charity. I read the hadith, remember the hadith? The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to be extremely generous in the month of Ramadan. He used to be extremely generous in the month of Ramadan. Especially, وَكَانَ أَجْوَدَ مَا يَكُونَ فِي رَمَضَان. Okay, and then the final part of the hadith is, that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Ramadan, when Jibreel used to meet him, he used to be more generous than min al-reeh al-mursala. He used to be more generous than the blowing wind. You know, ريح المرسل. He used to be more generous than that, which means that he was excessively generous in the month of Ramadan. And that's why we need to be extra generous in the month of Ramadan. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's generosity would increase in the month of Ramadan. Many reasons why. You know, why would he be more generous? Many reasons. It could be number one, لشرف الزمان, because of the nobility of the time. Because this is a month, it's a great month, rewards are multiplied. Okay, there's actually a special hadith in Sunan Tirmidhi. Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu relates that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked, O Messenger of Allah, أَيُّ الصَّدَقَةِ أَفْضَلِ, which charity is the most rewarding, the most preferable, the most virtuous? What kind of charity is the most virtuous? The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, صَدَقَةٌ فِي رَمَضَان, charity in Ramadan is the most virtuous charity. This is in Sunan al-Tirmidhi from Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu. So because it's the month of Ramadan, number one. Number two, i'anatu al-sa'imin. It's because you're assisting fasting people. Because you are assisting fasting people by giving, and also the people who, just generally, you're assisting all the people involved in ibadah. The reciters of the Quran, the people who wake up in the middle of the night, the fasting people, all of them. And if you assist them, they do good, you get the reward as well. So, sadaqah, feeding people, generosity in Ramadan. When we read the hadith, you know, if you feed one fasting person, you get the same reward, and his reward is not decreased. And you know the famous hadith, the one I just read from here, remember? Of Sa'i ibn Khuzayma. What did the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say in the middle? هُوَ شَهْرٌ مُوَاسَتْ. It's a month of, what is it? A month of مُوَاسَتْ, sympathy. Remember. It's a month of sympathy. You sympathize with people. You open up your, you know, pockets and your arms and just be generous. Don't be over generous, then you know you start struggling yourself. You know, there are limits, of course, for everything. So it's a month of generosity, and so that's number five. And then number six, we'll have a break, short break, just about 10-15 minutes, and then small break, and then we'll carry on till for lunch and dhuhr at 1 o'clock. Number six. Dhikrullahi subhanahu wa ta'ala, remembrance of Allah as much as possible. Remember, you can do dhikr whilst walking, whilst sitting, whilst driving a car, whilst doing anything, light dhikr. Yes, there should be some time where you dedicate yourself. Sit down, you know, with full conviction and full concentration, with khushu' and khudu. Allah says in the Quran, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu dhikrullah, O you who believe, remember Allah, make the dhikr of Allah, udhkurullah, dhikran kathira, in abundance. Dhikr of Allah. And the ulama have mentioned certain types of dhikr that are really important. Like, for example, the last hadith. You know, the last hadith of Sahih al-Bukhari. The final hadith of Sahih al-Bukhari, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Kalimatani habibatani ila al-Rahman. There are two statements beloved to the Rahman. Taqilatani khafifatani ala al-lisan, taqilatani fil mizan. It rhymes. Kalimatan habibatan ila al-Rahman. خفيفتان في اللسان ثقيلتان في الميزان. Two statements most beloved to the Rahman, light on the tongue, extremely weighty in the scale on the day of judgment. What are they? Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, Subhanallah al-Azim. There are amazing benefits, deep hidden meanings behind these two statements. If you look in the commentaries which the scholars have written on the hadith, Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, Subhanallah al-Azim. Reading Astaghfirullah. So, an excessive amount of dhikr in abundance. Dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, so we should try to make a habit. Read that. Read, for example, Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, Subhanallah al-Azim. Maybe Subhanallah walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, Allahu akbar, wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billahi al-Ali al-Azim. And whatever form of dhikr that has been prescribed in the Sunnah, which you want to maybe read. Number seven, and this is very important. What's number seven in your notes? Salawat ala al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Sending blessings on the beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This should be a constant thing in our lives anyway. A believer living a life without blessings on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is like living a futile life. Seriously. It's absolutely, it's fundamental part of our lives. There are people who live now, I know, who have a daily habit of about 5,000 a day of blessings on the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Minimum. There are people 10, 15, 20, 30. I know somebody who has 20,000 a day. Every single day, Ramadan, no Ramadan. Blessings on the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And really, blessings on the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam increases his love and connections. Another topic altogether, I don't want to get into that topic. But it also is great help and assistance. It's really, you know, you reap the benefits of it yourself. The human being, the one in Allah wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala nabi. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu sallu. Allah orders us that send blessings. Salat wa salam. But we have the benefit ourselves. Many ulama have, salaf, early scholars have written that, you know, we send blessings on the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but the benefit, number one, we get reward, and we get the benefits, we feel the benefits of it ourselves. And there are many, you know, ways and forms of reading the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There are actually books that you can even, you know, that have been compiled. You know, the famous book, as you may know, Dalail al-Khairat. Does anybody know Dalail al-Khairat? It's a famous book called Dalail al-Khairat fi salati ala al-Nabi al-Shafi' al-Anam. Dalail al-Khairat. It's really good. It's a good collection. It's a good collection of salutations, salawat on the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which should be a habit, daily habit of one's life. Read it, you know, there's good prints that have recently been published. There's another small book that I forgot to bring with me. I would really encourage. It's a small pocket size. You can just literally put it in this pocket here. This size, yeah? What is it called? In Praise of the Prophet. This is actually a collection of prophetic ahadith of salutations on the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by some of the scholars of the subcontinent. But recently, there's a publisher, you know, I'm not advertising them and I don't work for them, so don't worry, I just like their publication, that's what I'm mentioning. There's the publisher's called White Thread Press, if you know them, in America, I know them. And the person who actually did this, compiled it together and translated it, is a friend of mine. You might have heard of his name, is Sheikh Abdul Rahman ibn Yusuf. You know, we studied together and I know him very well. Beautiful translation, you know, collection where these 40 salawat on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have been added by another 10. Some amazing wordings. You know, especially those 10 ones that he chose specifically. And these are like the most touching ones. You know, especially Salat Tunjina. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad Salat Tunjina biha min jami'il أهوالي والآفات وتقديلنا إلى آخره until the end. Like for example, اللهم صل على محمد كلما ذكره ذاكرون وصل على محمد كلما غفل عن ذكره الغافلون. Allah sent blessings on Muhammad as long as those people, the mentioning people mention him, and even when the people who are neglectful and don't mention him, send blessings on him. And there are many other kind of, you know, salawat in that book, small hand pocket size, in praise of the beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Make a habit of that. Outside Ramadan, if you can't do it every day, then at least once a week, Friday, Thursday night. There's hadiths related from the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about the importance of salawat on Friday night. Remember, the night comes before the day in Islam. So, Friday night and the day of Friday, at least. And in Ramadan, if you can do this every single night, then alhamdulillah, every single night will be great. So this is about salawat on the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Number eight was istighfar. Again, you can just say, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in a hadith, Wallahi inni la astaghfirullah ta'ala fil yawmi sab'ina marratan. By Allah, I seek forgiveness. I make istighfar to Allah. How many times? 70 times in a day. In another variation of the hadith, 100 times. Who's saying this? The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, regarding whom Allah said, that we have forgiven all your sins. غفر له ما تقدم من ذنبه وما تأخر. Still he is seeking forgiveness. Then where do we stand? 170. It's like we need millions of times of istighfar. So we should try our best, even outside of Ramadan. But in Ramadan, remember, just make a timetable. Like, you know, from these eight things and the ninth thing which I'm going to mention, make a timetable. This, if you need to go work, things like that, so make a timetable. This is the time of Quran, this time of this time of that, etc. Istighfar. Remember, Ramadan is a special month again, even for istighfar. You know the word Ramadan? You know what it means literally? What does it mean? It's from the word Ramadan. It's from which word? Root word Ramadan. You know what Ramadan means? Something that scorches, burns. Completely. It burns and scorches due to excessive heat. So the meaning of Ramadan is burning, something that burns because of excessive heat. And the reason, according to some scholars, why this month was given this name, according to most scholars, some said because it was so hot, so they kept that name that time as Ramadan. But according to many scholars, one of the reasons of calling this name Ramadan is because in this month, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala burns away, erases completely the sins of the sinful people. This is why it's called Ramadan. It's a special emphasis on istighfar, seeking forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And especially in Laylatul Qadr, we'll talk about this anyway, sorry, even now. And so we should ask, we should do istighfar as much as possible. And lastly, number 9, do we have number 9 there, dua? Yeah, number 9. Dua, of course, dua all the time. It's our need. وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي أَنِّي فَعِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. You know, when my servant asks me, Allah says in the Quran, you know, about me, I am close to him. وَدْعُونِي, ask me, we know the importance of dua and supplication. So we should really take our time in this month, especially for dua. Best time for dua is between Asr and Maghrib. Night is definitely good, yeah? But during the day as well, between Asr and Maghrib. And the practice of many early scholars was before Futur, before Iftar. Half an hour, 20 minutes, they used to devote themselves to making dua, supplicating to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, asking for the needs. And please, brothers, allow your sisters and your wives to do dua rather than be worried about the samosas and the pastries in the kitchen. They're busy, you know, because some husbands are very harsh. If they don't get the samosas on the table as soon as the adhan starts, they, you know, they blow a fit. So it's not a time for eating samosas. Seriously, Ramadan is not a time for eating pastries. It's not a time for, you know, all these things. Alhamdulillah, you do a bit, you're there, fine. But it's time for dua and things like that. Okay? So, especially before iftar, spend some time making dua to Allah in your own words, asking for your needs, for the needs of your family, for your parents, for your children, for your relatives, for the whole of Muslim, for the whole Muslim ummah, and even for du'as. Best is in your own words. Okay, whatever, from the depth of your heart. The best du'as are those that are heartfelt, that are from the depth of the heart. But it's always good to read those du'as that have been transmitted from the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the Sunnah. And many du'as, and there's books that have been compiled as well, gathering the du'as of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Like, for example, I'll give you two names. There's a book called Al-Hizb al-Bahr. Does anybody know what Hizb al-Bahr? Hizb al-Bahr was written and compiled by a great imam, early scholar, called Mulla Ali Qari, rahimahullah. Prophetic transmitted supplications. There's another book called Al-Hisn al-Hasim, also du'as, ad'iyah, supplications. And something recent by a recent subcontinent scholar, it's been, this was translated into English, it's good, authentic collections of du'as, that the English translation was accepted. Sorry? I'm not reading prayers. Munajat maqbool, accepted whispers. Has anybody seen that? It's real nice. It's got Arabic, it's got transliteration, and it has translation. The accepted whispers, which are whispering to Allah, making dua.